The Drive is brought to you on demand by Assignar Construction Operations Software. Visit keepbuilding.com for a free demonstration and see how much your business can save.
It's 5 o'clock on the dot, Richie! Let's do it!
It's how we do it.
Mahomes with the interception. That is his sixth interception of the year. Outside they go, blocked by Kelsey. Temple, they have fumble on the play, and Temple looks like they've gotten the ball. They have.
I mean, there really is enough here for the Denver Broncos to be good, and Andy Reid knows it.
Another deep ball. And that pass, was it picked? Yes, it was. Pat Surtain.
Get up, get up. Let's go.
Come on, mama. Push
out. Pressure again. Prescott is sacked. Jonathan Cooper.
Here comes the move. Ready or not.
The other way, and he's got blockers in front. Spencer at midfield, down the sideline, and Deontay Spencer will go the distance. Touchdown!
We still have plenty of room to improve. This will be a good challenge right here with this defensive line.
Cosby, good block, Andy. Good block.
Mahomes goes down.
Shelby Harris getting there for Denver.
Hands up.
Bring him down, Shelby Harris. It's a loose ball. Denver has gotten the fumble.
Wow, they come from the wing, and here comes Malik Reed, who douses the quarterback, Patrick Mahomes.
Edwards-Helaire is in, remembers the block. They get by him, and down he goes.
Mahomes chased by Chubb and brought down awkwardly. Bends him backwards like Gumby.
Oh.
Bridgewater fakes the handoff. He's going to take another chance. Up the seam, and Bridgewater with a masterful pass.
Bridgewater shakes a tackle. Throwing, end zone. Touchdown. Eric Sauber with the catch.
Prescott, blitz.
Firing deep, and he missed Lamb. And it's a turnover on downs. The Broncos hole again.
Let's go.
Bridgewater rolling right, throws on the run, completes it. He's got Javonte Williams trying to get to the outside. He does. Williams with room to run. Williams over a defender. Oh, Javonte Williams providing a spark for this Denver offense. A 30-yard pickup. Bridgewater to Sutton at the 6. Slips a tackle. Sutton takes it in. Great effort after the catch.
Back up. I'll take you on. Let's go.
Bridgewater will step up and look to run. Oh, nice move. And another juke for Bridgewater.
Going over the middle, and it's intercepted. Picked off at about the 40-yard line. Coming back is Justin Simmons. They just need a yard. They pitch it out. Javonte Williams. Williams slips through. He's got a ton of speed. An eyelash away from a house call, a gain of 49.
Bridgewater throwing, across the body, completes to Sauber again. Has the big tight end down the sideline.
And going to Sutton. Oh, he got it! What a catch! Touchdown, Denver.
Third and 14, box in, wobbly. Oh, what a big-time hit by Jackson. Down the field again, wide open target. There he is, Tony Sutton breaks the tackle, and he's going to take it to the end zone. Touchdown.
Here come the Jags. Bridgewater gets it out quickly. It's caught. Fats breaking a tackle, and he's in for the Denver touchdown.
A little fleet flicker, and Bridgewater throws. Touchdown. Bridgewater end zone. Touchdown. Noah Fats, and he chucks the football into a sea of orange. Herbert on the move, throwing to the end zone, intercepted, picked off in the end zone by Pat Surtain.
Herbert.
Nice job, Richie Carney. Woof. Get chills, man, listening to that stuff. But we're all fired up, and it's time for our keys to the games. We're figuring out how you do it. How do you beat those Kansas City Chiefs? Tyler, what you got?
All right, buddy.
These are brought to you, sorry, by Nova Home Loans. Thank you, Nova Home Loans.
First key to the game, you got to rush for in a very similar fashion to what you did against the Los Angeles Chargers. And you got to bring some pressure, man. Bradley Chubb, it'd be a great day for you to show up. It'd be a great day for you to look like a number five overall pick because you can't be bringing extra guys blitzing the Kansas City Chiefs. If you do that, Patrick Mahomes will rip you up. Not only do you have to rush for, but you got to create turnovers. So rush for, create turnovers, disguise the coverage, and hopefully Patrick Mahomes will do something stupid.
My first key, and this definitely goes against how I feel most of the time, but don't be afraid to punt. Meaning, you just gotta push things as far as you can go and try your best to keep it a low-scoring game. And I would usually say the opposite, Tyler, but I'm not into taking many risks. Just punt, just move it down, and try to let your defense maybe make a play, make them make a mistake, or at least just burn some time off. I think the best chance you have to win is to hit like a McManus field goal at the end, and hopefully you can get lucky. I think the best way to win is winning like 22-19, I don't know, something like that. So don't be afraid to just give him the ball back and just take your time.
Well, my second key to victory is similar but very, very different. I got to control the clock. That's part of my second key to victory, so I think that's what you're saying. Don't be afraid to take your time, eat up the clock with your time of possession, but you got to finish with touchdowns. If you don't finish with touchdowns, you cannot expect to beat the Kansas City Chiefs. Look, I'm not buying who the Chiefs have been over the last 3 or 4 weeks offensively. I don't buy it. I know that Patrick Mahomes is capable of scoring 30 points. I know that. And if you want to beat the Kansas City Chiefs, you better finish your drives. But controlling the clock is really important because the best way to defend Patrick Mahomes is to keep him off the field.
My second key is don't be stupid, stupid. Meaning,
wait,
if you get beat by, well, we'll see. If you get beat by Patrick Mahomes, I mean, okay, it's Patrick Mahomes. But Tom McMahon was asked today, is this the best special teams that you'll face all year?
They're all good, but give them credit. They're very, very good. You know, Dave does a great job with them. He's a first-class man, first-class coach. You know, their specialist, Butker, is very, very good. Tommy Townsend's having a great year. You know, he punched the ball a mile high and a mile long. And they got two great gunners. You know, both those guys are playing well. And then their core's playing really, really well. And you always got Meikle. Okay, you got Husey. You got Pringle. And naturally, you got Tyreek. So he's done a great job with these guys, so to answer your question, is this a great special teams unit? Yes. I think everyone is good, but Dave's done a great job with these guys.
That's Dave Tobe, who is easily regarded as the best special teams coach in the NFL and has been discussed for head coaching jobs for years. We'll see if that ever happens for him. But they know what they're doing, so you should know that as well. It's not all that complicated. Tyler's just going to eat me alive. If the Broncos are doing a good job against Mahomes, and it's a punt return for a touchdown, a kickoff return, a block punt, you know, something stupid like that. This is a game where if you make a mistake on special teams, I mean, you probably don't have a chance.
Yeah, there's no margin for error. And you certainly can't have the mistakes on special teams like you've had over the entirety of the season except for last week. I feel you. All right, my third key to victory here. Well, before I even say it, let me ask you, D-Mac, how many games have the Broncos won when they're trailing at halftime?
One.
One.
In Vic Fangio's time.
Excuse me. That's right. That's what
one.
I meant.
One yes. And 20.
In Vic Fangio's career, he's won one game that he is trailing at a halftime.
One.
So, my third and final key to victory is you got to survive Andy Reid's first 15. You got to do it. He's fantastic coming off a bye week. He's a fantastic scripter. He scripts the first 15 as well as anybody in the NFL.
He's a fantastic scripter?
Ish. If you Google it, it's on the internet.
Should I bring my singles to the game?
Just Google it. It'll be on the internet somewhere, okay?
He's an amazing scripter.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. Yep.
Okay.
Survive Andy Reid's first 15. And if you do that, you've got a fighting chance, but you cannot play from behind. If you do it, you'll never catch up.
My final key to the game is, I mean, we've talked about it a lot, so it's no secret, and that's the pass rush. And would I love Bradley Chubb to have a breakout day? Sure, that'd be great, but I'll take it from wherever we can get it, Tyler. It's Weatherly or Cooper or Reed or, hey, Shelby Harris, right? Disrupting things. I don't know, pressure from the inside. I don't really care. I don't feel like you should just mush rush, though, against Patrick Mahomes. I feel it's different. I know he can run around, but I'd go after him. But you got to try to do it with four. You're right about that, too. So you're going to have some...
A great day in the pass rush.
I know. Like, I want to say it's Bradley Chubb. I'm just hesitant to do that because I don't care where it comes from. But it'd be awfully nice if we saw the game of his career from Bradley Chubb on Sunday night.
I feel you. It'd be a great day to show up, man. We need you.
Okay, the Denver Broncos pick of the week is presented by King Soopers, the officially grocery sponsor of the Denver Broncos. Me or you, what do you want to do?
I'll go first, I don't care.
All right, go.
D-Mac, we've been ripping scabs off all week long, right? We've just been yanking out, just ripping them off. Some of them are still bleeding a little bit, some of them dried up, but you got to get rid of those scabs. So we've been listening to the vignettes.
Yes.
And we've been in a pit of misery, and it's been painful.
Yes,
and
but now.
And because you're listening to Homer Radio 104.3,
right.
The Fan.
Right,
I got the Broncos.
Yes.
I got the Broncos winning a game against the Kansas City Chiefs.
Yeah?
They're going to do this.
Yeah, you gonna put it on pick-up?
They're gonna win. They're gonna win 27-24 because I cannot stand the thought of doing those vignettes of 12 straight losses the next time we play them.
Don't you dare make a pick on the air that you're gonna do something different on pick-up.
Don't you dare tell me what to do.
Are you gonna make that pick on pick-up?
Don't you dare ask me a question that you already know the answer to.
I got the Chiefs winning 31-13.
This is Homer Radio 104.3 The Fan.
Okay. It's 22, on the air, 27-24.
Yes.
Okay. Is McManus hitting the game winner?
Yes.
3-2 McManus from?
I mean, it's been neck and neck. We're just going toe-to-toe with the Kansas City Chiefs,
yeah,
and it comes down to it. We make a nice little drive. Teddy hits a nice little 30-yard bomb to Tim Patrick.
Nice.
You got 14 seconds left on the clock, but you got no timeouts because Vic already blew them all.
All right. We got first down, though.
Fortunately, you got that first down. You rush up to the line of scrimmage.
Boom.
You're panicking a little bit.
Yeah.
So, Jerry Jeudy didn't get on the line of scrimmage, so So Teddy's got to get him to line up. Clock comes down to one. You snap the ball, and he spikes that thing, and the McManus walks off with the game winner.
From
68.
Wow! Perfect! We set a new record. Brandon's going to love that. All right, well, shoot, I hope that happens. So I guess I'll be the Debbie Downer here, 31-13 Chiefs. But listen, I'd love to be wrong. Love to be wrong. It's just that the evidence points you in that direction. That being said, to me, this is not a must-win game for the rest of the season. You got plenty of juice left. It'd be nice to... The history is daunting, Tyler, because you've never, even in the 60s when you were so terrible, you've never lost 12 in a row. I mean, ever.
It's unfathomable. Seriously, it's hard to believe this is an actual real-life streak that is going on. And there's a huge part of me that just, I mean, look, do I think the Broncos can win this game? I think they can. Do I think it's going to be easy? Hell no. And everything's going to have to go well. So all the stuff that you've been doing well defensively, you got to do that. But offensively, you got to do everything better than anything you've done all year long.
I tell you this, man, if the Broncos can pull this off, and you know what? It is any given Sunday night. So sure, of course it could happen. It could happen anytime. But I have never really seen so many things stacked up against the Broncos like this game on Sunday. So we'll see. And maybe, I don't know.
Hold on, let's go through that. I mean, what's stacked up against them?
Home game against the Chiefs that was bumped back to Sunday night, meaning there's no way they're going to take it lightly. Not a chance. A bye week game. For the Chiefs, Andy Reid in his career as a coach is 19-3 off a bye week. The winning streak to me does mean something, and it's a tough place to play. I was trying to say inhospitable in Kansas City. The Broncos do only average 20 points a game, and I know the Chiefs don't tear it up, but you know, it just feels like they're offense can explode at any time. They have done incredible in the past month on defense. They actually have made a ton of changes, and it's really working.
Hey, I mean, I'm not going to discount anything you just said there. There's plenty of truth in it. Playing on the road in Kansas City, that's a really hard place to win. Always going to be a hard place to win. And, yeah, Andy Reid coming off the bye week, he's phenomenal. He's probably the best to ever do it coming off the bye week. However, D-Mac, I mean, if you want to look at the optimistic side of this, look at the Chiefs. They've had a season that's very similar to the Denver Broncos. It's been the tale of two seasons, both offense and defense. They've had their good parts. They've had their bad parts. Mm-hmm. They haven't quite strung it all together just yet. It feels like they're building that way. Yeah, I will admit that over the last 3 weeks, their defense has been tremendous. They're starting to find a running game. But, I mean, on the optimistic side, you've got a Kansas City Chiefs team that has got the worst record probably since the Broncos have played them. I don't know. We ever played the Chiefs where they had a record like this?
That's a fun question. 7-4?
I mean, during this streak is what I'm referring to.
Yeah. Well, I don't know, but I know it was almost a year ago to the date that loss number 11 happened.
December 6th, 2020. Sunday Night Football at Arrowhead. The Broncos' 11th straight loss to the Chiefs. Concluded with two of the ugliest words in sports. Moral victory. Behind a big game from Melvin Gordon, Vic Fangio's Broncos actually hung in against the Chiefs, even taking a lead in the second half.
All in, but out of bounds by Tim Patrick. Now they're going to call it a touchdown.
Touchdown.
After Patrick Mahomes retook the lead, Drew Lock had the ball in his hands in his hometown of Kansas City with a chance to finally end Broncos country's misery and snap the streak.
Over the middle, and then we intercepted, and that's going to wrap it up. So, Tommy Matthew does it again.
With the defeat, the Broncos' losing streak to Kansas City now spans 11 games, 3 head coaches, and 6 quarterbacks. Does the streak end Sunday night? It's the biggest game since Super Bowl 50. Broncos, Chiefs, Arrowhead this Sunday.
God, that's another one. This is the most recent one, and that has almost vanished from my memory banks. You?
Yeah, I guess the only part that I really remember is the moral victory part. It was like, wow, can we take a little bit of credence to the fact that we hung in there? We looked competitive against the Chiefs. That was the conversation that we were having on air. I remember that very vividly. And that's always a bad spot to be in when you're looking for moral victories.
Yeah, I think I was just, you know, staring down the barrel of getting a tattoo that I didn't want. And I was like,
forgot about that.
Not going to go well. Now, I really don't have much. You know, it's funny. I was listening to Jimmy Merrillat earlier with Zach, and they were talking about this particular game. And James had an interesting theory. His theory was, had the Broncos won this game and Drew Lock, you know, won the game, if they were able to figure it out, they would not have acquired Teddy Bridgewater if they got this win.
Hold on. Set the scene for me again. Where are we at? What's the season?
Last year, December 6th. So, I mean...
Yeah.
Several games.
What's the record? Do you remember?
I don't even know. The
only reason I ask is it's very relevant figuring out what that means for Drew Lock.
This is Jimmy's theory.
Yeah. All right. I mean, look, I'll go there. Let's say that the Broncos beat the Chiefs this year, but they just kind of limp on out the rest of the year. They go 50-50 the rest of the year. Probably don't make the playoffs. Yet, Vic Fangio was probably retained because of this game. So, to go down Jimmy's theory there, it's kind of the same thing. You know, right, wrong, or indifferent, you beat the Chiefs, and that means a lot to your overall evaluation.
I respectfully disagree with Jimmy on this one. Even if they won that game, they probably would have lost others. They wouldn't have made the playoffs. And George Payton was looking to do something. I mean, he was looking to do something. It was a quirky one, man. It's always a quirky one because, you know, Locke was Elway's baby. Drew Locke does not get selected at all if it's not for John Elway. John Elway had to be talked out of drafting Drew Locke in the first round, by the way. And they were set on Reisner. Reisner, where they got him, was a great pick. But it was because Drew Lock didn't go that Elway got all excited. And so they moved up. They moved up to get Lock and just created this very awkward, weird situation for the past few years.
So I just pulled up last year's schedule just to look at it.
Yeah.
All right. I mean, I don't know if James is saying if you beat the Chiefs, then that changes everything else that happens after it. But assuming that nothing else changes, you still lost three out of your last four games. Things were still bad going into the offseason. The final taste in your mouth is, is nothing but misery.
Yeah, they're still.
You're not going to change anything because of the Chiefs game. No, if you want to play the game that if you beat the Chiefs, everything else changes, okay, fine. But that's a big stretch to go on.
We just wouldn't have these moments today if that happened. But we probably still would have Teddy Bridgewater. The Lions, looking ahead just a little bit. The Lions host Minnesota on Sunday. Tyler, you think there's any chance that Minnesota loses to the Lions?
See, a lot of crazy things happen this year. Is there a chance? I guess so. Do I think it'll happen? No. I mean, if you were just asking like a straight up bet on that, I'd put a probability at like 96% that the Vikings are going to win that game.
Okay. I think so too. You see where I'm going here a little bit.
Of course. Yeah.
It means even if the Broncos lose, it's 6-6. You're actually still kind of okay. You got to go 4-1 the rest of the season. And you see what this sets up. You got me on this one, Mike Evans. Everybody, you got me on this one. That game against the Lions, that's a must-win game. You gotta beat the Lions next week at home. Period. You actually don't gotta beat the Chiefs on site. You don't have to. It'd be great, but you don't have to. And you're going to have another chance to play Kansas City the last game of the season at home. And that game may not matter to Kansas City, but it might have great importance to the Broncos. But nothing will matter if you freaking lose to Detroit. You just cannot do it.
I mean, listen, technically speaking, if you want to play that game, there's no difference. If you're saying you can lose to Kansas City and everything's in front of you, there's no difference. If you beat Kansas City and you lose to Detroit, it's you still got to win the exact same amount of games.
But you
got to win four more games here.
I'm okay. I get it from the numbers.
It's a different deviation. Feel. I understand what you're saying.
You lose to Detroit, who hadn't won a game the whole year?
Yeah. And then you say, what's the fallout from that?
People may be getting fired after that. I mean, that is just.
Certainly not if you. Definitely not if you beat Kansas City. Nobody's getting fired after that.
Kansas City's going to save jobs. And by the way,
Nobody's getting fired at all. Even if you lose to Kansas City and you lose to the Lions, nobody's getting fired. Coffee bet.
You're on.
Deal.
Somebody's getting canned if that nightmare scenario happens.
You're saying right then.
Somebody that week will lose their job.
Yeah, no. Nobody's getting fired. We've come this far. Nothing's happening.
You lose to Kansas City.
You're finishing the year out, dude.
And you collapse against Detroit and lose to them, too. Somebody is going to get Cheverini'd. Unfairly canned.
I doubt it. I really do. Hey, at that point, you're just a month out. You just got to survive one more month, and then everybody's gone. You can make whatever changes you want to make. Come this far, dude. I mean, if people were going to get fired, there were points of the year in which it made sense. It made sense after Thursday Night Football that somebody would get fired.
All right, but for the record, I do not think this team is too good to lose to Detroit at home. They're not going to lose to Detroit at home, I don't think. That game against Cincinnati after that, now that's...
go either way, for sure.
Yep. And then
the rest of the games could go either way outside of Kansas City.
And then at Vegas, are they going to be in a death spiral? Maybe. Chargers, where are they going to be at? How has this week been for Chargers? Probably not good. Quite a bubble has been burst in Chargerland, wherever that
might be. You've already beat them once, so you could make the assumption you can beat them again.
And what kind of home crowd are the Broncos going to have? Who wants to celebrate New Year's Eve in L.A., City of Angels? And then the next day, go out and see the Chargers lose. That's going to be a home game for the Broncos. And then if we're lucky, the biggest game of the year could be that home game against Kansas City.
Goodness. Just five this weekend, dude. Come on. win this game, and you're going to feel like you could win every game that is remaining.
No doubt about
it. That's what it'll do. If you win this one, you'll feel like you could go undefeated. If you lose it, it'll be the exact same thing. And I'm not trying to live in extremes, but that's reality. If you lose it, you could feel like you could lose out as well.
And why is this the biggest game since the Super Bowl? Well, simply stated, when was the last time the Broncos had a game in December for first place in the division? Here we go. Mount Palumbus Peak is next.
Hey guys, Tyler Palumbus here to tell you about my new friends at Assignar. Colorado contractors get paid faster and save big time money with Assignar managing their construction operations. From instant crew and equipment scheduling to digital time tracking and forms, contractors using Assignar are averaging $30,000 per year in savings. Collect data from the field to make informed decisions from the office with Assignar platform and mobile app. Go to keepbuilding.com to request your free demonstration of Assignar and see how much your business can save.
From the banks of Cherry Creek to the Flatirons of Boulder to the South Stands of Mile High, he's the state of Colorado's native son, a man of mythical and physical proportion, University of Colorado Buffalo's team captain, Denver Broncos Super Bowl 50 champion. He is Mount Palumbus. Who dare attempt scale the mighty Mount Palumbus on this day?
Our dude, Tim, in Farmington, New Mexico. Listening on that app, denverfan.com. It's insane. I was told today the Run the Ball Pat t-shirts, record-setting sales. Mount Palumbus, how much of an impact will Bolsey's return have on the offensive line play?
Mount Palumbus. Hey. Speak.
It's a fair question. It's a good question. I don't know which version of Garrett Bowles we're going to get. We got a lot of Jekyll and Hydes going on this year as an entire football team. Garrett Bowles has regressed. This year has been a regression for Garrett Bowles. He's allowed 5 sacks on the year, and he's missed a couple games. So basically in 1/3 of the season, he gave up 5 sacks. That's not getting it done. That is not getting your job done. And then you add in the penalties that he's had, and those have started to add up this year. He's had moments where it's felt like Garrett Bowles of the old. Now, it's not been that bad. He certainly has not been a liability like he was in years past. He just has not been living up to the contract. If we could get Garrett Bowles to play at a very high level, he'd make a huge impact, but I'm not going to expect that. I don't expect a guy to come from time off and play better. You saw with Bradley Chubb, like, it takes some time. Number one, you're coming off injury. Number two, you haven't been playing football. You just haven't gotten the reps. So I don't think it's realistic to think that Garrett Bowles is going to come out and play the best game of his of the season. I hope I'm wrong, and if he does play the best game of a season, it's going to help us a lot. However, I don't think that's going to happen.
Mount Palumbus, who wins in a foot race, Vic Fangio or Andy Reid? Mm. Think about that one.
Mount Palumbus. Speak!
Well. What type of food is in front of us?
Meatballs for Vic.
Right.
All right.
I mean, you put meatballs out there, Vic Fangio's winning.
Cheesesteak for Andy Reid.
You put cheesesteaks out there. You can't tell me Andy Reid's not winning for a cheesesteak.
For a cheesesteak.
I mean, you go back to the Philly roots. What kind of food's at the finish line?
All right. Mount Palumbus speak. How well do you think Javonte Williams will do if Gordon cannot play? Russ in Lakewood.
Speak.
I'm expecting Javonte Williams to have an incredible day. He's been fantastic with every opportunity he's had. And he, in theory, should get double the opportunities that he's previously had. So if you're good with half the reps, you get double the amount of reps, I'm expecting you to do major things. The Broncos need to run the ball well. They need to eat up the time of possession. Javonte's been explosive. He averages, I think it's 4.7 per carry, somewhere in that ballpark. Don't quote me. And we need that this week. So give a lot of opportunities to Javonte Williams and get him involved in the passing game as well. You know, those little quick screens, the little quick just out routes. Javonte should make a big difference in this game.
Some other stuff here. Oh, this is a funny one from Kale. You know, the grammar on the Run the Ball Pat shirts are wrong. it should say run the ball, comma, Pat. We actually had some fun conversations off the air about the actual shirt and kind of the grammar and other words that you could put in there, but run the ball, Pat. You know he's right, isn't he? Kale's right. There should be a comma in there. Run the ball, Pat.
Let's not worry about the details. It's a hot-selling shirt. The people love it.
Yeah. Who cares about the grammar?
This is not a no regrets tattoo, okay? It's just a t-shirt.
Pat, run the ball.
Wow. Run the ball, Pat.
Run the ball, Pat. It's an implied comma.
But what if you don't pause? What if you just say, run the ball, Pat?
Run the ball, Pat. That doesn't make sense, actually.
Still need the...
Yeah, Kale did not capitalize, Pat.
Wow.
Kale.
The grammar, please.
He did spell grammar wrong. You're right.
Wow.
Should I take a picture of somebody saying a grammar correction and he's got all the grammar wrong in his criticism?
What a moron. Oh, my gosh. Keep going, Richie. I mean, seriously, it's fantastic.
Wait, hold on. So we're implying that somebody is saying run the ball, Pat? Like, it needs to be in quotes? Like, what, it's a collective quote? Or is it a direct quote?
Guys.
Who's saying run the ball?
Oh, my gosh. I hate my head for a living. This is
we? Who's we?
I'm a tall dude, and this is just all above my head.
No offense, but I'm happy Melvin Gordon will probably not play this week. That's a weird comment, man. Like, the one thing that's worked really well is Gordon and Javonte Williams together. I mean, I think there's a couple of teams that have two running backs over 500 yards. The balance between... You want to talk about something that has actually worked well? It's the balance between Williams and Gordon. I mean, I get it. There's been a couple of fumbles. I get it. But still, if you look at it in total, that's worked well. I don't understand what the frustration is. I actually just don't get that.
It's just more the excitement of Javonte Williams, and it's thinking about what the future could be and wondering if it could be even better if he's got more reps.
But it's not like there's a decline. They both average around the same amount of yards. The production is actually equal between the two of them.
I mean, fair enough, but I said a couple weeks ago, if there's ever an important play, whether that's third and short, fourth and short, whether that's a four-minute drill, I don't care. Pick an important play, and I do not trust Melvin Gordon because he's proven to me he's selfish and he makes mistakes. He's done that. He's done it many, many times for the Denver Broncos. So I'm not saying he's a bad football player. He's a good football player. And you're right, the combination has been successful. It's probably been the best thing the Broncos have had going on offensively. I'm just saying, in crunch time, when it comes down to it, I want Javonte getting the ball.
I love texter on texter crime. I love it when texters go after each other because that means they're not going after me.
Yeah.
No offense, Kale, but you suck. Then Kale responds, damn, you got me. And by the way, Kale, you should have a comma after damn.
You should.
Okay.
Just to be honest.
I want to... I'm curious who you're going to give a game ball to, but there was a story in the world of sports that deserves a sarcastic game ball.
Oh, well, you know what? We can have a change up today.
No.
We can have a change up.
No.
Hold on. We've lost to the Chiefs 11 straight times.
No.
We can have a change up. No. I want this.
No.
I want you to have a game ball today. If you've got a good game ball worthy story, I want you to have a game ball.
No, because I'm sure you got a good game ball. But there was something that happened last night that it's really not a game ball.
No, you
pay. It's just me being... It's just me being kind of a jerk, but it's one of the funnier moments in sports. It really is. I'll give you the details on it next.
All right.
Getting you set for the biggest game since Super Bowl 50. Sunday night showdown between the Broncos and Chiefs at Arrowhead. Here's The Drive with Tyler Columbus and D-Mac.
Caller 4 right now. 303-713-1043 wins a pair of tickets to go see the Foo Fighters at Empower Field. Coming to you August 6th, 2022.
This is Foo Fighters.
I hit the post there.
You did.
Let that sink.
You know why? Because you're DJ Magoo and don't you ever forget it.
Don't you ever forget it. Yeah, we've had fun giving away these Foo Fighters tickets, and that's in August of 2022. And Free tickets are free tickets. We'll take it. Okay, not a game ball, but just a fantastic moment in sports. Something happened in NBA history last night that's never happened before. The biggest blowout of all time.
Wow. Okay.
Memphis beat Oklahoma City 152-79.
Holy cow. They almost had 100 extra points.
That is
that's a butt whipping.
Stunning 73-point victory for the Grizzlies over the Thunder.
You know who's going to be able to relate to that?
Who?
The Kansas City Chiefs. They're going to know what that feeling feels like when they take that butt whipping from the Broncos this weekend.
I'm just wondering, when somebody is just handing it to you, kind of on both sides. Like
been there.
I know you have.
70-3.
I know.
Big 12 championship game.
Yep.
We lost to Texas. It was the worst feeling I've ever had in sports. I mean, I was looking at the clock like, please, Lord, can we have a mercy rule? Just let that clock run. Let it run. I think we had 55 turnovers, like, inside our own 20. Joel Klatt ended up in the hospital for 3 days. I've been there.
What is it? Does it feel so helpless that it's almost comical at a certain point?
No, there's nothing funny about it.
Is there anger towards the other team? Like, what are you guys doing?
No, there's just depression. That's all there is.
You don't.
You kind of go through the seven stages in real time. And yeah, maybe might be comical the first turnover. I don't know. Maybe it's there. There's anger when they get up by 21 points, 28 points. But then you go to straight depression, and nothing can bring you out of that depression.
Have you ever whooped up on anybody where you started feeling bad?
My senior year, we put a whooping on Nebraska. Final
game. Don't feel bad about
final
that
game.
One.
Final, no. My final game I ever played in
that
at Folsom
is so
Field.
Great. There's no way you felt bad about
sir.
That.
Uh-uh.
You probably were looking like, let's put another one on. Yeah. No. Yeah, okay. Never mind then.
Yeah.
You'd only feel like that, I suppose, if you were playing somebody that really...
Like when Stokely was coaching Peyton's flag football team.
There you go. He ran up
the score by like 50 points.
I heard that.
Yes.
Did he really do
dude,
that?
These are 10-year-olds. What are you doing, Stokely?
Let's go to our guy, Chris Bianchi, who is powered by Move Mortgage. No pressure and clients for life. MoveMortgage.com. When you got there, Chris? What's going on, man? You got your lights up yet?
Got him up. Got him up. We are excited about it. We're happy it's, it hasn't snowed yet, but you know what? It's at least on the calendar close to Christmas.
All right. So what do we got in Kansas City for Sunday?
Well, it's not going to be a high-impact weather game, but the winds will kind of pick up as the game wears on. So long story short, no rain, no snow. You might remember 2 years ago, it snowed a lot when... Drew Locke had his first game in KC. You might remember that game. Broncos got kind of clobbered back in 2019. Fun fact, I was actually there for that one. But this will not be a high-impact weather game. What we will be looking at is probably temperatures in the upper 40s, low 50s, and we'll see those temperatures kind of go down as the game wears on. Cold front moves through, and the winds pick up as the game wears on, probably 20, 25 miles an hour. So kind of, again, bordering to where it impacts the game, but probably not a high impact.
All right, we appreciate it. Happy holidays, Chris. Chris Bianchi, powered by Move Mortgage. No pressure and clients for life. MoveMortgage.com. So weather, no big deal. Injuries, no Melvin Gordon, according to Mike Kliss. Like, not at all, even though Fangio was like, whatever. And a pretty clean slate, man. I mean, all in all, Bulls has come back and...
No frozen tundra?
Yeah.
You know, that's one of the hardest parts about playing in Kansas City, dude. That grass, it is frozen.
Yeah.
I mean, you lose your footing so easily. You slide all over the place. They spray paint the field. It's a tough place to play late.
Yeah, but like Mahomes likes that type of weather anyways. That
right.
Doesn't. That
he told
doesn't,
us.
Right, we know.
Yeah, everything just slows down. It's like, I'm like, beep, 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 beep.
I like the weather. Yeah, it's great. Football.
My brother's got to go do a TikTok dance.
TikTok, yeah.
By the way, how is that not the most embarrassing? You want to shut something down in terms of brothers. As cool as the Jokic brothers are, how uncool is Patrick Mahomes' brother?
Man.
Is he the most uncool relative?
That could be official. I mean, it's funny you bring that up, because actually my game balls today, I was going to speak about just the human nature that we all have, where, you know, everyone wants to fit in, D-Mac. We all want to be with the cool kids in life, and we've all done things to fit in, to impress others, and we've all been there. I'm not saying we should, right? But my game ball today goes to Brian Kelly, who in world record time figured out a way to get kicked out of the cool kids club and get exposed as a fraud with the fakest southern accent I've ever heard in my life.
Those incredible 12 years of my life, for me and my family, being here at Notre Dame.
That's the old Brian Kelly, like last week.
Right, yeah. Now it's...
It's a great night to be a Tiger.
Oh my gosh.
I'm here with my family.
My family.
And we are so excited to be in the great state of Louisiana.
Holy cow, Brian Kelly, I'm sorry that happened to you. I'm sorry that you had to speak in front of a crowd. I'm sorry that you had to speak with a southern accent. Just be you. You know, you want to fit in with the cool kids? All you got to do is be you. Isn't that what you tell your kids, D-Mac?
Sure.
Just be you. You're going to fit in. Everybody's going to love you. But congratulations, you got $100 million, and everybody already thinks that you're going to be a fraud and a failure.
Yeah, but that's
congratulations.
Cool. A lot of money's cool.
D-Mac, it's been a fun week. I took the Broncos because I'm a homer.
Sure.
You did not because you're realistic.
Yeah.
Kevin probably took the Broncos because he's a homer. I know. Richie's just a hater on everything, so he definitely took the Chiefs.
Who's Michigan State playing this weekend? Right.
Nobody cares if they're not in the championship. Right. We're the Drive, and we got Cecil and Nick coming up next.
Hey guys, Tyler Palumbus here to tell you about my new friends at Assignar. Colorado contractors get paid faster and save big time money with Assignar managing their construction operations. From instant crew and equipment scheduling to digital time tracking and forms, contractors using Assignar are averaging $30,000 per year in savings. Collect data from the field to make informed decisions from the office with Assignar platform and mobile app. Go to keepbuilding.com to request your free demonstration of Assignar and see how much your business can save.